All right, I think we're ready. I can formally declare this meeting of the Inner West Planning Panel open. In doing so, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next item is declarations of interest, and there are none. It is appropriate that we introduce ourselves, each of us introduce ourselves. I'm David Lloyd, I'm a lawyer, I'm a QC, I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court, I'm currently an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mr. McInerney.
My name is John McInerney. I'm an architect and town planner, and I'm an ex-councillor with the City of Sydney.
I'm Heather Wharton. I'm the community representative on the panel, as I live in Ashfield. I'm also a town planner, and I've worked in local government and state government for a number of years.
Good afternoon. I'm Lindsay Day. I've got my own town planning practice with a mix of private clients, local councils, and I'm on three planning panels. This panel, Bayside and Inner West. I've got qualifications in geography and town and country planning. I'm a corporate member of the Planning Institute of Australia.
We can share this mic. We've got to be recorded. This is why we have these mics here. With that, we can move on to the first item on the agenda, which is the proposed development at 25 Maida Street, Leichhardt. These are alterations and additions to an existing dwelling, including a new first floor. I can advise that the panel inspected the site of this development earlier in the day. In fact, we inspected the site of each proposal earlier in the day. We are familiar with what is proposed. We have noticed that there is a number of speakers on this item, the first of whom is Fiona Pickett-Heaps. Are you here, Fiona Pickett-Heaps? Not here? Where is she?
Can I just say that there was a locked door at the front and there were people waiting out there, and I'm not sure whether they realised that they were coming.
All right, we'll wait for that. Please sit down. Please sit down. I see they finally let you in. We've moved on to the first item on the agenda, which is the proposed development at 25 Maida Street, Leichhardt, and we have noticed that there is a number of speakers on this item. The first name I have is Fiona Pickett-Hears. Are you Fiona Pickett-Hears?
I am Fiona.
Please come forward. Take a seat. And turn on the mic in front of you.
Do you mind if we go in a slightly different order?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. We'd like to start with Juliet White, the owner.
All right, certainly.
Thank you.
Is that working?
Yes, proceed.
Oh, I have to press the... Do I have to keep holding the button?
No.
Okay. So my name's Julia White. I'm the owner of 25 Maida Street. And I just wanted to start by giving you some context about why we've decided to pursue the application. I bought our little house 20 years ago and my circumstances have changed a lot since then. I got married and had two children. So we renovated in 2012 to make our two-bedroom house a little bit more livable for a young family of four. My eldest son has now started high school and I'm doing a PhD, so I work a lot from home. My father-in-law also comes to stay a couple of times a year from the UK and currently sleeps on the sofa. Council has argued that the existing dwelling has adequate internal amenity to satisfy the needs of the resident. But when we're trying to fit an entire study, double bass, viola, piano and drum kit into our lounge room, it certainly doesn't feel like we do. Our house is bursting at the seams at the moment, but none of us wants to move away from Maida Street. We love living in Lilyfield and are actively involved in our local community. Our kids went to Orange Grove Public School and have lots of friends living on our street. My husband Adam was the president of the Orange Grove PNC, and I was involved in running the local playgroup when the boys were little. Adam and our boys play for Balmain Football Club, and Adam has coached for the club since before we had our own children. I'm also studying locally at the Brain and Mind Centre in Camperdown, and my mother lives nearby in Glebe. Having lived in the street for so long, we have a great relationship with our neighbours and help each other out whenever we can. We made it a priority to share our extension plans with them before we even briefed an architect, and they were all very supportive, which you can see by the fact that no one objected to our DA. You might ask why we don't just move to a bigger house. To be honest, we can't afford to. I've been a student for the last 9 years and also work casually for a not-for-profit. Adam works for our son's school, and we've lived very modestly since I went back to uni. We'd love to buy a bigger house in Lilyfield, but they're just too expensive, particularly once we take into account stamp duty and agents' fees. To buy a bigger house, we'd need to move a long way away from our current community, family and work, which we're reluctant to do. We've never wanted a huge house in the suburbs with a big garden and a pool. We're just hoping for a modest three-bedroom home with a bit more space for living and working that will let us stay in our community while our boys go through high school and hopefully university. From my understanding, this is consistent with the objectives of our residential zoning, including providing for the housing needs of the community in a variety of housing types, improving opportunities to work from home, and protecting and enhancing the amenity of residents and the neighbourhood. As long-term residents, we're asking this panel to show some discretion and allow us to continue living in our home and our community by approving our application. Thank you.
Thank you. Who wishes to go next? For the record, your name, please.
My name's James Kevin, and I'm a neighbour and am offering my support to the application with specific reference to the bulk and scale of the building.
Yes, proceed.
The subject site is small. It's one of the smallest on Mader Street. And not only is it small, it's also narrow, just 6.4 metres wide. Next door, number 23, is almost double that at 12 metres. And that kind of frontage, along with larger sites, are typical for the houses in Mader Street. When it comes to council objectives and controls regarding both bulk and scale, the nuances of this site and context of the application require a more sophisticated judgment from this panel rather than the broad strokes of the assessment report normally reserved for larger sites. That being said, regards the LEP, the proposal's site coverage is compliant and existing landscaped area is deemed acceptable. The floor space ratio varies the FSR standard by 16% or 22.4 square metres. From that figure, if you take away the void for the stairs and the first floor hallways, you're left with just 7 square metres of additional habitable space being sought by not complying with the FSR standard. This is not a gouge or a land grab, but on this side it makes all the difference, meaning that complying with the standard is unreasonable and unnecessary. Added to this, the proposal is in the public interest as it meets the R1 zone objectives of providing for the housing needs of the community, a variety of housing types and the ability to work from home. With regard to the DCP, the council's pushback on side setbacks as a starting point if we met the side setback controls based on 2.4 metre ceilings, the first floor usable area would be 1.1 metres wide. Clearly that's not viable. But council has stated that a first floor addition is achievable. To do so though, the inference is that council doesn't expect the side setback controls to be met. Even if very conservative additional side setbacks of just 500 mils were applied to the first floor of the proposal, the second and third bedrooms would be 2.6 and 2.7 metres wide respectively, which is the kind of dimension for an office or a child's room, not a teenager or a young adult. And it should be noted that next door at 27 Mader, which is a similar site size and width, it was not able to achieve its first floor addition without zero side setbacks to the ground floor envelope. Council's response to the side setback test, clause C3.2, is also inconsistent and inaccurate, and I'll be happy to discuss any of this in the Q&A afterwards. With the building loan location zone, in Council's request to withdraw the application, it cited non-compliance with the BLZ and called for increased rear setbacks on both floors. This is despite the existing ground floor rear setback already being passed by Council in a previous DA in 2011. The existing ground floor envelope is outside the BLZ, but the proposal's design has taken this into account by ensuring that the first floor setbacks are both within the existing BLZ. However, in the BLZ test for a variation, council deemed that compatibility with the streets gate is not acceptable, asking for the first floor front setback to be within the existing ground floor BLZ, ignoring that it is, as I just detailed.
Mr. Kevin, that's your 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Are there any questions?
No.
Thank you.
All right. Again, for the record, your name, please.
Oh, hello. I'm Fiona Pickett-Heaps. I'm the designer, and I'll be answering, and the applicant, sorry. I will be responding to the council report with regards to the proposal's contribution to the streetscape and rhythm and the future characteristics of the distinct neighbourhood of Nanigoat Hill. As you would have seen this morning, Mader Street is very diverse. It's diverse in its urban fabric as well as its community and residents. This diversity is at odds with the Nanigoat Hill control, which requires consistency in streetscape, allotment size and roof forms. However, it is aligned with control number 6 to preserve and enhance the socio-economic mix through a variety of dwelling types. And this proposal perfectly meets that control. Due to the irregular rhythm of the Mader streetscape, and in order to find a touchstone of what council deems acceptable and within the realms of council flexibility of the DCP, we are referencing number 9 O'Neill Street for several reasons. The extremely small and narrow lot size is similar. The amenity provisions are similar. The architectural treatment of the facade is similar and is less than 250 metres away and also in the Nanigoat Hill distinctive neighbourhood. And it was recently approved by council. Please refer to the comparison table that I issued. Importantly, our proposal more closely meets the DCP controls. Whilst number 9 O'Neill Street proposal was located in a heritage conservation area where we would expect council to be more stringent with its controls. Number 9 O'Neill Street has aesthetically enhanced the streetscape and lifted the quality of renovation in the area. It has set a benchmark architecturally. It has also set a signpost as to what could be achieved with our proposal. Our proposal will similarly positively impact the streetscape while also more closely complying with the DCP controls. If Council can approve number 9 O'Neill Street, Lilyfield, but reports our proposal as displaying a disregard for the applicable key development standards, site layout and building design considerations, we believe that there's an inconsistency in Council's response to development proposals. Our approach has been to address and reform the bland architectural form of number 25 Mader Street and to make a positive contribution to the streetscape by creating architectural identity and merit for the dwelling. We disagree with Council's suggestion that the unoriginal roof form should be maintained and sympathetically added to. In summary, this proposal is the appropriate design solution for number 25 Mader Street, as it is consistent with an extremely similar proposal recently approved by Council at number 9 O'Neill Street. We are asking the panel for a more careful consideration of this proposal and its complexities. The proposal is in the public interest, as it will make a positive contribution to the streetscape and architecture in Mader Street, and will also have a huge positive impact for the lives of Julia and her family.
Chair, I was just wondering, in the report itself, which you've obviously read, there are at least 4 suggestions of different options that the officers who wrote the report suggest would be suitable solutions. Have you explored those options?
Yes, we have.
Basically, in order to create additional amenity, we do not want to put the stairs in a living area because the living areas are very tight at the moment. The bathroom was not long ago renovated, so we'd ideally not put the stairs there. The stairs, one of the suggestions council had was to remove the bathroom and put the stairs upstairs. I did have a look at that, and basically the stairs go in the best possible place for a living or bedroom area where it gets the most solar access and the best ventilation. We're not really improving things by just putting one bedroom upstairs and a bathroom. We're not gaining
an additional amenity that we need. The other thing was, if an elderly person needs to use the bathroom, they've got to go upstairs.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.
The other thing that they did suggest was maintaining the existing roof form, which we felt the roof form's unoriginal. It doesn't have any character. The proportions are terrible. And basically, it doesn't show that on the elevations the front street elevations that council's put into that report. Because the apex of the roof is so far back, the pitch is in fact very low. So it's an unoriginal and I suppose substandard roof form. So we don't really want to add to a poor building form. We'd prefer to enhance the streetscape by enhancing the proportions of the building.
Mr. Chim, sorry, I don't wish to pursue this, but that last point, I think the retention of the original roof form had more to do with retaining it at the front of the building itself, the existing building, allowing for an extension further back, which you've done on number 9, I notice, actually, to some degree.
Sorry, say that again?
In other words, that the retention of the existing roof form, to my reading, only applied to the front section of the roof, that is, fronting the road. In other words, you could put a first floor further back, which wouldn't be dominating the front elevation.
Yep. Yes, we could do that, but I suppose I still think that pitch on the front is pretty shallow, because basically I think it was probably altered by the previous owners, and we're then putting a and we ideally want to follow the same pitch of the roof upstairs if we're going to do that. So then we're putting using the existing pitch, which is quite low, and then putting it on the top floor as well. I suppose I think that suddenly we're getting these walls, and the proportion of roof to walls is, I suppose, I don't think, I think it's slightly out of proportion.
Thanks.
We did have a look at number 9 O'Neill, and I just note that it's a much narrower dormer. From reading the council officer's report and from looking at the drawings, the actual front dormer is quite a bold architectural statement. And I note that it's obvious in the report that it's not within a conservation area, but there's still an objective for the zone about compatibility with the streetscape and minimising visual impacts. And that front elevation is quite a bold statement. Did you look at any other alternatives to maybe do a more traditional sort of form at the front of the building? Because I think that's one of the main issues with the development.
Do you mean reducing the size of the dormer?
Well, doing it some other way, yeah.
We went through many, many concept designs, and I suppose the thing is it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, because we're dealing with an existing envelope, we're dealing with an existing building, and it's how to add on to that without completely disturbing the ground floor. So that was a big consideration. So basically we looked at the stairs, where the stairs go is pretty important, because we really didn't want to interrupt any further living amenity. I think the ground floor living amenity is very small. So basically, the stairs dictated quite a lot of the design. We did look at several different roof forms. We looked at like putting a sympathetic and probably one on top of the other, which similar, like I suppose next door, I don't think is a great example of a first floor addition, because I think that, one, it's not going to give us enough amenity. It only has one bedroom and one bathroom, and it's for a retired couple. So we do need the amenity here. And I think that basically if we look at a different shaped roof, then we might be going up, we'll be going up higher again. So we wanted to keep the scale of it as low as possible.
Just an observation, we did obviously go around the corner and look at the narrower building that you had designed in a similar style. I guess my observation is that the dormer was far less dominant on that particular, the neighbouring property, and also that the new building is dominated by the terrace on the east. So this is quite a different statement. What you're proposing really is a very strong statement in that streetscape, whereas the one in the neighbourhood is far more subservient and the building to the east is far larger. So for me, you know, I think that the other one is fine, but I'm not really happy with the streetscape presentation in the proposed development.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, now something funny is happening here.
The dormer on that property is a lot further forward, so therefore it doesn't affect the amenity of that bedroom upstairs. Before that building was there was just a vacant lot. So obviously it was a new build rather than a renovation. So again, we're working with an existing building and trying to make that work. We could look at, you know, we could look at making that dormer smaller if necessary, but I think that it would reduce that front bedroom to being losing its amenity. Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much. Any change of view? Thank you for your attention. As I said earlier, you may not have been here, we did visit the site earlier in the day and reviewed it and reviewed its context and reviewed the other property to which you referred us. The panel's decision here is... Are you able to hear me? No? Yeah. I'll repeat what I said. I'll repeat what I said. You may not have been here earlier when I said that we had visited the site of this and, in fact, every other site that we are concerned with earlier in the day. And we also viewed the context and we viewed the other property to which you referred us. And we have carefully... No, we're all connected. We're all connected. The panel is of the unanimous view that the panel cannot support this particular application. That's not to say that you can't have an addition, an additional floor. This proposed development, in the view of the panel, would not be compatible with either the existing dwelling or the desired future character of the area in terms of bulk. We are not satisfied that it would provide a positive contribution to the streetscape. We do not support the variation to the floor space ratio standard. We do not see that this proposal results in a superior design to one that conforms with the floor space ratio standard. Designs similar to that prevalent within the street can be achieved here on this site, we think a bit of tweaking, if I might put it that way, can achieve what your clients want, but this proposal we feel does not meet a satisfactory standard. So the determination of the panel is to adopt the recommendation, which is to not support the variation to the floor space ratio standard and to support the other reasons for refusal set out in the assessment report in this instance. But as I've said, you can come up with something which we feel will be more in keeping with the area. For refusal. Yes, we feel that a better design is called for in this situation. It's a difficult site, we appreciate that, but we feel that a better architectural solution is possible and achievable on this site which will still give you what you want. Mr. McInerney will assist you.
Can I start by saying it's not the job of this panel to design solutions to problems which we've identified. I think the problem is actually best identified in the report itself, which you have a copy of. There are, by my counting, four specific recommendations embedded in that report which suggest four different options that you could pursue. My own feeling, in a sense, is not particularly important here. What's more important is to read that report and come to some understanding of what those four options are. And I would say that working with the council officers, you could come up with a solution, as the chairman has mentioned.
All right, well, with that, we can move on to the second item on the agenda, which is the proposed development at 2 School Street, Balmain East. Is anyone here interested in that matter?
Yes, unfortunately, I didn't
register. Who are you? You're for the applicant.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I can tell you that the panel is in favour of granting consent here. We do not support the conditions which require the addition to be set back in line with the with the existing building, but we do require the relocation of the exhaust vent. It should not be where you've shown it on the plan. I'll ask
Lindsay.
I'll ask one of the other panel members to announce a decision here, because we're going to. There's a bit of tweaking going on here. All right?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Ms. Day.
We visited the site this morning for the alterations in addition to the existing heritage dwelling and association works, including the tree removal. The panel considers that the recommendation for a conditional consent is supported, with a couple of exceptions. In relation to condition 1, paragraphs 2 and 3 are to be deleted, and I'll read them and then explain why. The first reads, in the event of any inconsistency between the approved plans and the conditions will prevail. The panel has decided to delete this paragraph because it is previously stated in the first paragraph of condition 1. The second paragraph, where there is an inconsistency between approved elevations and floor plan, the elevation shall prevail. The panel has decided to delete that statement because ideally there should never be an inconsistency between an elevation and a floor plan. These should always be checked for consistency, as should all other plans. In relation to condition 6, which is back to the point that the panel chair has alluded to, paragraphs A and B of condition 6 are deleted because it's the panel's view that this is not detrimental, the proposed layout is not detrimental to the heritage value of the building. It actually adds architectural and visual interest to the building and clearly defines the extension at the rear of the property. So 6 becomes, there are 3 parts to it. Previously C, D and E become A, B and C. So the panel is going to conditionally approve the development, and I guess our chair needs to ask us to vote.
We will.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ensure that the garage, when it, the carport, the enclosure of the carport, was still going to result in enough width to enable a car to be parked as a garage, because it actually should be remained as a garage. Whether you use it for storage or whether the clients use it for storage is another matter. So I was just going to propose a condition to ensure that the width is maintained as required to ensure a vehicle can use the space. Okay, so we did go to the site and have a look in terms of development. We note that it's part of a bigger townhouse complex, and there's a technical requirement in terms of the clause 6 variation to the floor space ratio because of the way that the local environmental plan is written and that a clause 4.6 submission has been lodged. I do note that there's a small error in page 135 of the report that refers to that there's a breach of other development standards, but confirmed with the manager and that the only breach is the FSR development standard. So the panel is happy with the proposal. We need to refer to the variation to the floor space ratio standard as part of the recommendation. So we're just going to propose that an additional clause A be added to the recommendation, which refers to that the panel is satisfied that the variation to the floor space ratio standard is acceptable. And also we are proposing to add condition 3A, that the garage comply with the garage width, the internal garage width, comply with the relevant Australian standard, which is AS 2890. I don't think it's got the decimal point there. That's because it's a carport.
Yeah. Okay, so.
So when you enclose it, yes, you have to make sure that there's going to be, I think it's 3 metres. Scaled it as 2.8 metres, but you just have to ensure that that the actual construction certificate drawings reflect that, that there is still enough room for a vehicle to park in there and open the doors. Similar to the previous items, there's the two conditions under condition one. The first two paragraphs of condition one, we're proposing to delete those conditions, which refers to the in the event of inconsistency between the approved plans, the conditions will prevail, and the reference to inconsistency with approved elevations and floor plans. So the first two paragraphs are deleted from condition one. There's an additional condition 3A, and we're adding additional part to the recommendation that references the clause 4.6 variation.
Are you happy with all that?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's the determination of the panel. I think it's unanimous.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The decision is unanimous. So we can now move on to the next item, which is the development at 5 Stewart Street, Balmain. We have a number of speakers registered to speak in this matter. Who wishes to go first? We've got 3 speakers. Where are they?
They're not here.
Perhaps we'll just jump over that and go to the next matter and come back to it. We'll jump over that and come. We'll defer that until later. We'll move on to item 5. This is the review of a previous determination relating to 184 Nelson Street, Annandale. Mr. Davis is here, I think. We don't wish to hear from you, Mr. Davis. We're quite happy with what is proposed. We see no need for that addition, for that particular condition. So we are happy to adopt the recommendation to delete that particular condition, condition 2A.
And to remove the
garage. And I think that is also unanimous. This relates to the I-beam. Yes, that's been changed in the recommendation.
Yes,
it is unanimous.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. See, that's it. It's got the correct sections, 8.4, correct. Can we move now to item number 6, 59 Lilyfield Road, Roselle. We have two speakers who wish to speak. Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins, are you here? Do you wish to speak?
Yeah.
Come forward, please.
Hi, my name's Ellie Jenkins. I'm the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins. This is a letter from my mother. She agrees with the council's determination that the proposal fails to meet the requirements of the developing planning controls and that the proposed development should be refused in its present form. The scale and height of the building is too large and bulky compared to our property. It is not compatible with the adjoining property, which is an old-fashioned shop front, and the facade is in its near original condition. The placement of the communal area is of particular concern, being so close to the ground floor bedrooms. I note that the council has addressed this in correspondence received regarding this meeting, but just to emphasise our concern regarding the matter. The separation or setback has been addressed as well. There is no separation on the drawings provided so far. No landscaped corridor is reflected in the drawing. I would also like to stress the importance of privacy and our house being subject to more shadow. We already suffer a lot of shadow in our garden. Parking is an issue. Creating another large driveway on Burke Street takes up more parking away from existing residents. More residents will have to park on Lilyfield Road, which is also an issue at this current time. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Samantha Bone here? Do you wish to speak?
Yes, it's not very easy with a belly. Yes, sure. My name is Samantha Bone, owner and resident of number 5 Burt Street, Roselle, and we object to the development at 59 Lilyfield Road. Oh, that's much better. The reasons for our objection are privacy. The proposed windows and balconies, particular of Unit 6 on the western side of the development, will overlook our backyard, dining room, living room, and potentially our master bedroom. With a young child on the way, this is our concern. The height and light to our property is our second concern. The shadow diagrams in the DA application are insufficient to fully understand the extent of the impact to our property for a three-storey high development. The height of number 9 Burt Street, Roselle, is impacting our property, and we are at the risk of being built out by 59 Lilyfield Road as well. Noise is our third objection. The proposed balcony and common area on the western side will project noise to our property. There is no acoustic report available with the DA submission to demonstrate the proposed design and material selections will control noise and complies with the building code. Number 4 is our objection is relating to heritage and conservation and the floor space ratio. We recently had our DA application approved at number 5 Burt Street, and this was a serious negotiation point with the council. We had to restore our front porch back to its original facade, with our DA consent outlining the colours and materials to be used to keep in with the heritage guidelines. It would be unfair to our house and other houses in the street if this development was to be approved without the same consideration. And finally, our last objection is on parking and access. Burt Street car parking will be reduced due to the proposed Burt Street driveway, which does not accommodate off-street parking for all 6 dwellings. The traffic report submitted with the DA does not contemplate the sporting season, which sees all Burt Street parking occupied with weekend sport, and does not consider the impact of the WestConnex development with the influx of construction workers initially, and changes to parking on Lilyfield Road with proposed bike lanes and parklands. In closing, we support the objection of this DA. We support the development assessment report of the Inner West Council and the statement by Mrs. Jenkins of 61 Lilyfield Road. A development of 2 storeys, in our opinion, would overcome most reasons for objection. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
No one else is registered to speak. I can advise that the panel has looked at this carefully and has come to a determination. We note that this development infringes the floor space ratio standard, it infringes the landscape area standard, and it infringes the height site coverage standard. We are also not satisfied that a three-storey proposal is compatible with the scale of existing and surrounding buildings. In short, we think that this proposal is simply too big. We accept the reasons advanced in opposition to this proposal. We accept the recommendation for refusal and the grounds for refusal. And I think the panel is, again, yes, in agreement.
Yes.
So the determination of the panel is to adopt the recommendation for refusal and the reasons for refusal set out in that recommendation. So with that, we can come back to number 5 Stewart Street, Balmain. We have a number of speakers here. Who wishes to go first? We have 3 speakers registered. Good. Your name, please? Thank you very much. Yes, proceed.
No questions from me.
Can I just clarify? I thought I heard you say that the chimney is being retained, but...
No, the chimney is being reconstructed to the front part of the building. At the moment, it's not there. And it's actually proposed to reconstruct the chimney to what is the more attractive original front form of the roof.
And that's shown on the elevation, is it?
I think Heather's referring to the chimney and chimney breast that is in the current family room.
So that's being demolished.
It's been proposed that that would actually be the better chimney to reconstruct than actually retaining the chimney to the rear. And it's not on the drawings indicating that.
Oh, okay. So the chimney you're talking about is the one that's currently in the living room?
Yes.
Yep, okay. But it's not shown on the drawings as being reconstructed. And sorry, that's just something you're suggesting today?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you.
This one's going.
Yeah, that's right. But they're going to reconstruct that, even though some of the things there now.
We do actually have extensions that I think you should provide, but I think it's quite clear the actual form of that concrete is missing its chimney. That's the area where they're reconstructing part of the building to recover that importance and contribution. I think has more meaningful contribution to the conservation area than simply keeping the chimney as a rear, which is part of it.
This report does go into a lot of detail in terms of some pre-DA advice and other options for different forms of development, an extension of the dining kitchen area upwards, a pavilion form and so on. What other options did you consider?
When you say this report...
The council officer's report.
Well,
there was...
earlier, there was actually an extension. I'm not the architect of the
Earlier,
there was a proposal end up beyond the line of single-storey cottage, and in the pre-DA discussions it was discussed that it would be better to do that. Obviously that has a significant reduction in the overall area that they're able to have on the cottage. They looked at the possibility of building on the boundary, but the problem with building on the boundary is
and it actually has a significant impact on the neighbouring property. So it's being looked at as an option and not taken up because they think it actually has significant planning impacts.
Okay.
Can I ask another? Just in reference to the southeast elevation, which is on plan sheet DA04, I guess one of the major concerns I have is the impact of the new window above the existing roofline and that particular elevation. And I'm just wondering whether you've given any consideration to perhaps reducing the ceiling height of the first floor addition and eliminating that window, the view of that window from that elevation.
We do actually have a three.
Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. Who wishes to go next? Mr. Brooks?
Sorry. Firstly, there were a number of objections, and we 12 of them have withdrawn, and we have signed withdrawals of them from them. So, if council wants, we can table that. The council suggested location of a two-storey rear addition in the same position as the existing north-east rear wing is unrealistic, as it would cause unacceptable negative impacts on the property at 3 Stewart Street in terms of solar access, bulk, and loss of views from the first floor balcony of that property. The council requested colour and material schedule, so I've put that in my A4 submission, but we can formally submit that to the council. The proposed side boundary fence was another issue with council that they required us to stick to 1.8 metre maximum height, which would follow the contour of the lane, but we have retained a horizontal top level of the fence to Stewart Lane, and that conceals the ground floor of the new addition. So it helps to create a much softer impact on the lane. And there are numerous examples of this being done, particularly around the corner from this site, where it has no negative impact on the streetscape. Another requirement of council's assessment was requiring to comply with section 5.2 of the Australian Standard for Car Parking off street. Well, 5.2 is not applicable because it specifies column location and spacing, and this is an open car space, and the standard does allow in special cases for small car spaces to be provided. And this car space has been in existence for a very long time, and it's being used constantly without any problem in terms of visual impact or safety of passers. We wanted the removal of the robinia tree to be included in the application. And there are precedents approved by council that the form of the addition is acceptable. And in the heritage report, number 68 Elliott Street is a typical addition, two-storey addition at the rear. And this one is monolithic, whereas ours is broken down so that the scale is reduced and it's much softer impact. And the other modifications we've proposed, apart from the chimney, being changed from an ugly metal flue to a brick chimney. We also, as Jennifer said, we've proposed continuing the line of the highlight windows around onto the southeast elevation, so that that reduces the bulk and scale of the addition. And if can I leave that with council so that it's easier to see what we're talking about? Thank you. Thank you. That's all.
The panel members may have some questions of you. Just stay there for a moment.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Brooks, you've had a chance to read the report of the officers.
Yes.
I see many of these reports, but this is one which I might call slightly exceptional in it. It basically disagrees with everything that you've just said, and in fact argues on page 190 that there are 15 elements of the proposal which need to be redesigned to achieve a satisfactory heritage result. It goes further and recommends that there are several options, in particular the use of the rear area for a two-storey addition, which I know you've mentioned earlier, but it recommends that that is where the solution lies. It also recommends the retention of the existing family room. In fact, it says it's not acceptable, that is, the demolition of that area, given the significance and age of the building, and should be retained. We have looked at the site, and I must say, from my own point of view, I'm inclined to agree with most of what the officers have recommended and concluded. I suppose that's a long introduction for me to ask, have you explored in some detail the other options which are touched on in this report?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have the two options. One, as I just mentioned, we couldn't extend along the northeast boundary because of the imposition, the negative impacts on number three. And the other possibility that council suggested was a larger ground floor extension, and we couldn't fit everything in there without greatly reducing the private open space. And the other thing that I want to mention is the rear extension is substantially hidden from the streetscape, if you look in all the photos, and the chimney can only be seen in one very narrow window as you walk along the lane, and it can virtually not be seen from Stewart Street. So it's apart from when you go on the site, where I agree the chimney does have a good appearance, for the rest of the community, they would get very little benefit from it.
Can I just comment, please? Yeah. I guess I disagree with your idea. I think in relation to the existing chimney and also the chimney breast, the whole structure, as you come down Stewart Street, you're coming down the hill and there's a kink in the corner where the lane meets it, and I think it's quite visually exposed, and I think it's a really positive feature within the heritage conservation area at that point. So I guess I would be endorsing much of the officer's report, and in particularly retaining that chimney and chimney breast in any redevelopment of the site.
Mm-hmm. All right. And in answer to the list, you said there were how many points? 15. I have sent council on the 19th of March that perspective that I've just tabled. plus an answer to all those 15 points. So I think we've covered it with council.
I'm sorry to pursue this, but I don't think you have, really. Clearly the council is not convinced, that is the officers who wrote the report, of your alternative argument. I must personally agree that perhaps it would be difficult to extend at a single story level, but I suspect a two-story addition in that far corner, but accepting the fact that it will cause some detriment to number three, but that could be dealt with as a design issue, that is the retention of having no windows in that area looking into number three, and there are very other, and I'm not going to design it now for you, but it seems to me that is where the direction lies for the future, as opposed to what we see in front of us today. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
So can I just clarify this issue about withdrawal of objections? Can I just clarify with the council staff, because we did see your letter of noting that, and council staff indicated that there was no indication of any withdrawals?
We haven't received anything to that effect, but I think that staff members have been in today.
Right.
Well, we're only allowed to submit one A4 page, so I didn't submit all the 12 objections withdrawals. But I have them here. I can hand them to council. Thank you.
We don't have the original objections in front of us, so unfortunately we can't verify the objections.
Why don't we accept the withdrawal, because we're going to refuse it anyway?
Excuse us.
Yeah, it's not addressed to the consent of the committee. Yes, that's right. Yes, well.
If ten or more objections are withdrawn, then this development application is no longer before this panel. It has to be determined by staff. The criteria for referring any application to the panel is that either there's been an infringement of a development standard or we've received 10 or more objections. There is no infringement of a development standard here. If the 10 or more objections are withdrawn, we do not consider this application. It goes back to staff to consider.
We agree to that, but the objections are withdrawn on the basis of those couple of modifications we were proposing, which haven't been accepted.
I think do you understand the problem?
Yes. So
now those objections are not addressed to the planning authority. They're not addressed to the panel or the planning authority. So they haven't been withdrawn from the planning authority. So we will continue to regard ourselves as being seized of this application.
Right.
Rather than
refer it back to staff. If it's referred back to the staff, the recommendation will be adopted. Period. End of story. Staff deal with it.
Aren't they addressed to the council?
Well, I don't know.
Can I